the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Good evening. Welcome to our fifth midweek Lenten service. And you probably realize now that our theme is the Psalms of Lent. We've chosen some special psalms from that great book to help us prepare for our celebration of Easter, of Jesus' death and resurrection. Psalm 32 is our psalm for tonight. I introduced it a little bit with the children. It is one of what's called the seven penitential psalms, Psalm 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and 143. All of them include in the psalm a prayer of repentance. There are other psalms that also have a prayer like that, but these two do kind of stand out. As I mentioned in my message to the children, the psalm falls into two very distinct parts. The first part focuses on repentance, and the second part on the results of repentance. And I might even title this sermon tonight, in fact, this psalm, an interesting title, The Joy of Repentance. We don't usually think of repentance in that way, but it really is true. Now, everyone that's been in this church for a while knows that we talk a lot here at Good Shepherd about repentance and about forgiveness. It's a part of every single service, and it's a key to the Christian life. There's a tendency for all people to think that repentance is just something you do once in a while when you have really messed up. But repentance is something we should be thinking about all the time. It's not when we simply mess up because we've committed some outward sin, but it's because of the nature of sin. Knowing that sin is deeper than just the things that we do wrong or the good things that we don't do. The Psalms, like this one, usually use several different words for sin, and we see them in the Psalm this evening. One is the general word, sin, which covers in many ways both the condition of sin, of a sinful nature, as well as the actions of that sinful nature. The things that we shouldn't do, the arguments, the hatred, the lying, the stealing, and all of those things that the Ten Commandments teaches us. But another word that we find often in the Bible is the word transgression. And transgression does refer to our actions. It comes from the Hebrew word that means rebel. And so this is the part of our human nature that resists God's will and from time to time just crosses lines, sometimes even deliberately, transgression. And then a third word. Again, all three of these words remind us that repentance is something that we need to be thinking about every day. And this word really captures that. This is the word iniquity. Iniquity comes from the Hebrew word that means twisted or crooked. And that is, again, pointing to our nature as human beings. We are not able to live that straight and upright life by nature. We have a sinful condition. The sinful condition leads to sinful behaviors. So the first part of the psalm focuses on that. Focuses on the reality of sin, the problem of sin, the repentance for that sin, and the forgiveness of that sin. You know, we, as I was talking to the children, have a temptation to remain silent when we know we've done something wrong. But this psalm and others tell us that's a dangerous thing to do. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, says, "He who covers his transgression will not succeed. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." Once when I was a boy, I got in a fight with a neighbor boy in our neighborhood. We got angry with each other. Angry words turned into a few slugs. And then, as often happens when little boys do stupid stuff like this, we just kind of both were in tears and went home to recover our pride or whatever it was. But then something began to turn inside of me. I know it's because of my Christian faith. I knew that what I had done was very wrong. and something that displeased God very much. And it just kept, just as David says in Psalm 32, it just kept eating away at me. And I began to feel a different kind of pain. In fact, the pain of getting hit by my friend wasn't as bad as the guilt that was starting to weigh down upon me. Finally, I just picked up the phone and I called him. His name was Mark. And I just quickly said, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have gotten angry with you, and it wasn't right for me to fight with you. I'm sorry about that, and I just wanted to tell you that." I know he was probably surprised to get the call from me that way, and I kind of surprised myself a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when I hung up that phone, it was so amazing how relieved I was. It was all over, and I had nothing hanging over my head about that little problem. Now, people, as I said, do this all the time. Husbands and wives hurt each other. Parents and children hurt each other. Brothers and sisters hurt each other. Co-workers hurt each other. Friends hurt each other. And when we do those things that are wrong, the Bible tells us that we need to, first of all, come to the Lord and ask for the Lord's forgiveness. But especially if it involves somebody else, we need to go to them and also tell them we are sorry. And when we don't do that, I want to explain something that happens. When we don't do that, that guilt begins to calcify. It begins to solidify. And it becomes like a brick. And that's the first brick in a wall. And as we keep doing this over and over again through life, as the years go by, what happens is we start building a wall between ourselves and other people. And eventually that wall gets so strong and so solid that it can be almost impossible to knock down. That's why quickly responding to sins with repentance and forgiveness is really essential. And I know you've heard me repeat this many times in other Bible studies and sermons, these three key sentences that all Christians need to be ready and willing to say: I love you, and I'm sorry, and I forgive you. If we could say those words often, it would bring about good results in our lives. And so that turns to the second part of this beautiful Psalm 32, the results of repentance. And we see the beautiful break right at the end where David says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and then you forgave the iniquity of my sin." And because we were singing this psalm, we left out a few words. There are some words that are in the book of Psalms that we don't really ever say. And the little word I'm thinking of is this word Selah in Hebrew. Selah means to pause, meditate, also probably a musical signal of some sort, that maybe this was when instrumentalists began to play music, as people thought about those words that they had just said and were ready to move on to something else. And now we see the results of that forgiveness. Now, the first hymn that we sang tonight was chosen. I chose that hymn as a reflection of the very first part of the psalm. And I'll tell you what, that hymn, "Lord, to you I make confession," that song would be Exhibit A in the minds of those people who think that Lutheran hymns are nothing but laments, sad, and sorrowful all of the time. As one writer said, Lutherans are the only people that celebrate Good Friday year around. And there's some truth to that. We do that because repentance is not something we just do on Good Friday or on the Day of Atonement, for example. It is something we do all of the time. And so it's appropriate once in a while to sing a sad song. If you never sing a sad song, then you're not worshiping in a biblical way. These songs are often put in a minor key and they're played a little bit slower, and that's good for us to do that. Peter, when he sinned, the Bible tells us he wept bitterly over his sins. And we need to have that also in our Christian lives as well. But as I said, there's a turn in this psalm, and everything changes. It's as though the clouds part and the sunlight comes out, and David really makes a shift as he leaps into a psalm of praise at this point. And so the other songs that I chose for the service tonight are a reflection of that second half of the psalm, where David praises God for the results of his forgiveness, the benefits of his forgiveness. Let's just go through that list a little bit and think about why David is so happy after he has repented of his sins. He says that everyone who is godly offers prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Well, here's the first benefit of repentance. You, as a repentant person, will be more eager to worship. If you find worship to be boring and uninteresting and you're starting to resist it, check and see if it's not, has nothing to do with what the service is like, but much more to do with what your heart is like. Unrepentant sins, unresolved problems. That'll keep people away from church more than anything else. So where there's repentance, there's an openness to hearing God's word and to come to Him in prayer. He also says there are benefits like this. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach Him. You are a hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the shouts of deliverance. Repentance actually brings the benefit of less affliction in this life. Earlier in the psalm, David said when he was being silent, not repenting, he said, "Your hand was heavy against me." Now, there are many reasons why we suffer afflictions in this life. But, you know, sometimes we suffer afflictions unnecessarily. God afflicts us when we're not repentant. And he does that to get our attention. He wants to bring us to repentance. So when we repent, that's a benefit for us, that God doesn't have to afflict us as much. We may be afflicted for other purposes, to test our faith and so on. But why have any more affliction in your life than is necessary? It is a great benefit. It relieves us of some of the physical problems that we face in our lives. Another benefit: I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed and with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. When we are harboring sin in our lives, again, we are building a wall between ourselves and God. And we really lose the benefit of God's leading and guidance in our lives. He starts to let us go and wander, and we become like a stubborn animal, and we refuse to be led by the Lord. And again, that creates nothing but problems for us in our lives. A benefit of forgiveness is to be reconnected to God, and with that reconnection comes His leading and His guidance. If you've ever felt that God's not listening to you, if He's not hearing your prayers, it is probably a time for us to remember the prayer of repentance. And then he says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Upright in heart. That's an important phrase in the Bible. The Bible talks about people who are righteous. A person who's righteous is not a person who never sins. A person who is righteous, like in this psalm, is a person who is not afraid to say the prayer of repentance and to seek the forgiveness that God gives. That is what makes us righteous and upright before the Lord and before all people. That is something to be joyful about and happy about. There's no reason to hang heads and to feel depressed and suffer that kind of sadness in life. It is going to be relieved and taken away from us in this tremendous gift and blessing of repentance. So, Psalm 32, a psalm that really could be titled "The Joy of Repentance," begins with sorrow but ends with happiness and gladness. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue.